Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Squires. Thanks for tuning in today for episode 3 in our second season of FinPoint. Welcome back. Or if this is your first time listening, so glad you joined us. If you tuned in last time, you'll know that this season of FinPoint explores and examines the growth engines. Let's recap. The growth engines are 4 strategies to help firm leaders and advisors tap into the advice value stack in order to deliver value and to grow your client base and your business. In short, the growth engines represent how firms can actively deliver what investors want. In the first episode of the season, Mike Durbin, president of Fidelity Institutional, joined us to introduce the 4 growth engines, which include sustainability quotient, digital quotient, intelligence quotient, and emotional quotient. Previously, we discussed sustainability quotient, better known as SQ, and more specifically, how SQ drives resilience across all facets of the firm. Today, we'll move on to describe and explore digital quotient, or DQ. As a growth engine, DQ is about using technology to improve productivity, introduce new revenue streams, and to create a better and more convenient customer experience. But before we talk about DQ in more detail, let me take a moment and bring in my colleague, Tricia Haskins. Tricia is Vice President, Digital Strategy and Platform Consulting here at Fidelity Institutional. So what Tricia and her team do is actually very, very special. They work with firms, not just to help them define their digital capabilities, but ultimately to engage them to increase their ability to use technology to create a tailored consumer experience at scale. Tricia, welcome. Great to have you.
Thanks, Mark. It is so great to be here. I mean, as you well know, this is a topic that's front of mind for me every day. And the team and I are just passionate about it. It really informs how my colleagues and I work with firms to really help them unlock the benefits that only technology can deliver.
Absolutely. And you know, it also puts you in a perfect position to talk about DQ as a key driver of growth for our firms. You've got such an expansive perspective on the landscape here. So maybe you can begin by telling us more about what digital quotient is. How do you define it?
Yeah, sure. So DQ was coined by McKinsey & Company, and it measures the digital maturity of a firm across 4 key focus areas. And those are strategy, culture, capabilities, and organization. So if you take a step back at the 10,000 foot level, DQ really represents your firm's ability to optimize technology and really use it strategically to amplify the value you offer to your clients.
So that is something that most firms recognize as being critical to their success. However, the big caveat, it's easier said than done. And many firms continue to struggle to use technology to differentiate themselves. So tell us what digital quotient looks like when you get close enough to see under the hood at a firm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mark, you know, this is not technology for technology's sake. And DQ is not just having the latest cool technology, right? We could all have the same list of tools, and many firms do. But there really is a wide variance when it comes to achieving real, tangible satisfaction and business results. And DQ is more than just adoption or more than just the technology components. It's about efficiency. So how are you continuously integrating and taking advantage of deeper integrations, really optimizing your operations, optimizing the way you work with clients and your client-facing solutions for the most efficient and effective way of working with them? It's enablement. How are you using the different tools in your firm, your technology ecosystem, we like to call it, to serve your clients more effectively? And how are you using information that you know about them to tailor that experience? It's training. I mean, we all know training is not just a one and done. These technology tools are constantly being upgraded and adding new features. How am I staying up to date on the latest? Right? And how are you encouraging advisors and associates to use the best tools that you offer them in all parts of their day? It's optimization. So how are you really using digital solutions to deliver onboarding, trading, reporting, all the things your end clients need? It's your firm's story. From a strategic level, how do you make technology part of what it is that makes your firm special when you're either attracting new clients or attracting advisors to your firm? And really, it is overall about how your firm embraces the advantages that technology can bring across your organization.
All right, so let me test this out. When I think about all the things you just mentioned, and we put them in the virtual crock pot, one big idea surfaces, and maybe the biggest benefit for firms, tell me if you agree, is enhanced client experience. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, and the fact that you just said virtual crock pot, that is going to become part of what I say every day. I love that, Mark. Thank you. So absolutely. In our industry, technology, it's moved from being a tool to now you have a solution. And today, and really, really importantly, it's all about the experience. How is technology delivering a great experience? In fact, enhanced client experience is part of the promise of having a high digital quotient. To me, it boils down to the quote from Sean Garrity, a user experience expert. The technology you use impresses no one. The experience you create with it is everything. And we've seen this play out vividly with the COVID crisis. And there are many, many macro factors affecting DQ. I mean, everything from rising customer expectations, rapid advances in technology. I mean, but the COVID crisis really shined a really bright spotlight on the importance of DQ and the importance of technology. And we've seen that firms have been really forced to strengthen and accelerate their DQ to meet the needs of their clients in this virtual world. At Fidelity, I mean, as you well know, we are on the front lines of the shift. As the industry moves to new ways of working, we have experienced a rapid uptick in adoption of the many tools we offer on Wellscape and across Fidelity Institutional. We're releasing new features to make it even easier for advisors to navigate our platform so they can spend more time engaging with their clients. So I'll give you, for instance, here, the number of transactions using electronic signature for money movement increased 103% between February and April of this year. And that results in increased efficiency and faster processing. Digital tool adoption for both clearing and custody account opening also grew. And this includes a 45% increase in new account e-signature adoption for custody in the same time period. Additionally, Fidelity Institutional opened up more than 100,000 new accounts in the first quarter of 2020. That's a 25% increase over Q1 of 2019. All of this demonstrates our customers' desire to strengthen their DQ in order to create a seamless experience for their end clients.
Wow, there's a lot packed in there. I'm just going to call out my two favorite highlights from everything you just said. You know, number one is that technology should be about an experience. It's not about all the bells and whistles. It's what is the end experience like? I love that. And the second thing is that we're going digital. And certainly the events of 2020 have forced a huge migration to digital. And boy, did those statistics that you shared reflect that. All right. So sounds like what you're saying is that an elevated digital experience has almost become table stakes as a result of the pandemic. Everyone needs to bring their A game with a streamlined digital offering and reliable access.
And now the question becomes, how do you elevate that digital experience? How can you add more meaningful digital touch points for your end clients? What role does digital content play for your firm? And importantly, how can you tailor the content to your end clients? Can you add more self-service tools? Can you engage over more mobile channels? How are you managing data to learn from and act on the information to provide that tailored experience to your clients? How does your firm story, your recruitment story, and your culture differentiate you?
Those are all the right questions to me. And it, you know, it gives firms a lot to go on as they continue to develop and deepen their EQ. So if there's one place they should begin, one thing about DQ that matters the most, what is it?
It's culture. It absolutely is culture, without a doubt. I mean, based on my experiences working with all these firms, culture is really what gets firms energized to embrace the opportunities that technology transformation offers. It's the thing that separates those who are successfully using technology from the rest. They are embracing technology and they're making it part of their culture. They understand that technology isn't itself the thing that's going to solve their problems. It's like the quote, right? It's rather how they use it every single day and how are they creating a great end client experience with it.
All right, so maybe to use two cliches here, sounds like DQ is a journey, not a destination, maybe a marathon, not a sprint. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, developing DQ is an ongoing endeavor. Just like the other three growth engines, it's a progression. You don't flick a switch and turn it on or off. It's something we measure along a continuum. So you're moving from really a tactical use of your technology in a siloed way to having a digital strategy where you're thinking about what is it that I'm trying to achieve here? How do I want to interact with my clients? What is that experience? And then applying technology to that vision.
So that sounds like a great time to cue in our next guest to join us, Gina Bradley, Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel at the Colony Group. Gina, welcome. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Mark. It's really nice to be here. Technology and wealth management gets lots of airtime, lots of brain space, but the concept of DQ is a really helpful lens that I think can add something to the conversation.
Absolutely. So let me get you up to speed. So Tricia and I were just discussing how firm culture is a make or break part of this. Tell us a bit about your firm's culture around technology and frankly, what does digital quotient DQ mean to you?
At the Colony Group, I'm going to use the word respect. We have a healthy respect for the power of technology because it's not only a tool, but it is a necessary component of lifelong learning. So that's one of the Colony Group's core values, lifelong learning. But you cannot be a lifelong learner without ongoing connection, even in a virtual environment. And so we believe technology must be a means to connect everyone, advisors, teams, clients, no matter who you're talking about, we have to connect. And so we really try to embrace technology and weave it through everything we do. So, for example, it is one of the bedrocks of our integration of our teams across our offices. We currently have 15 offices spread across the country. And though we've added some of those offices by mergers with other great firms, we still have a singular service model that's designed to be convergent, not divergent. And we have to use technology to connect those dots. One way that shows up for us is through our best practices committee. Their charter, not enviable, I will say, it includes the ever-evolving quest for technological best practices. And those have to serve a very large and very diverse group of advisors who, in turn, are charged with delivering both a consistent Colony Group client experience and one that's customized to every client. It's a tough balance. So for us, that's where the idea of DQ, the digital quotient, comes to life. I mean, how do we equip and train our teams for optimizing a client experience that's both driven from a common core, but also nimble enough to be responsive to each client's needs? And to do that, you have to be strategic. And we know that jumping to the next shiny object is going to be to our detriment. DQ is not just grabbing the next great thing off the fintech shelf. Technology for technology's sake, we've all heard it. It's a distraction. But strategic harnessing of that power of technology, it allows us to be responsive to clients in a more directed and intentional way.
So it's not technology for technology's sake. It sounds like both your culture and your strategy are aimed at putting clients at the center of everything. How does your DQ drive the client experience?
I like how you put that, Mark. And that distinction is critical to how the Colony Group operates because the ability to customize our experience is what differentiates us. Our mission is to provide peace of mind to our clients and empower their visions for tomorrow. That's really based on goals. It's not just a feeling. But just like companies that have performance measurements, so do individual clients. But that is never going to mean the same thing for all people. And so we listen and we respond to the different needs of each client. So, you know, that said, for client service modeling, deciding what drives the client experience, as you said, we believe that one helpful schema is to simplify that spectrum of clients into three technology personas. The first one I'm going to call more is better. Some of our clients are looking for a slicker digital experience. They want as much digital interface as we can throw at them. The second one I'm going to call easier is better. Right? Those clients, perhaps they're really ensconced in their career, perhaps they have families, they feel like they are absolutely bombarded with technology. They don't want more logins or passwords or tools, but they absolutely will use targeted, well-honed technology that's going to make their life easier. That's the key. They absolutely can and will use sophisticated technology, but it better be simplifying their life, getting them closer to that peace of mind place. And so we need to meet those people as well. We've got more is better. We've got easier is better. And then our third persona I like to call basic at best. Those are our clients who, you know, they want an experience focused more on face-to-face, less on technology. At their best, they want some basic technology that can certainly support what their advisor has been telling them. Data is good. But if you really pressed them on it, I don't think they would state it as a value driver. Now, even with those three personas that I just gave you, a way to categorize and think about how we drive our client experience, it is important to note that clients will move in and out of these segments. We've seen significant movement out of necessity from that third category to the second in the pandemic environment. We have lots of examples of clients that used to want in-person meetings only, paper-based experience only, and now they're the ones demanding more of a digital experience because they want to maintain their own wellness and social distancing. Another way that shows up, even in a regular non-crisis environment, is in the spousal relationship. We often see different personas portrayed in the same client because we're serving different spouses at the same time. They want to engage in their client experience differently, albeit with the same advisory team. So one spouse might be that easier is better client experience. Just give me what I need to know. The second might be poster child for more is better. Constant connection. Always looking for more tools. So the bottom line is that we can't make assumptions about what clients want. It's up to our advisors who know them well to learn who those clients are, what they want, and then meet them there with an interactive experience that's right for that person.
Gina, I want to bring Tricia in for 1 second. Trish, let me bring you in here and get some thoughts.
You know, largely historically, we've thought about DQ or leveraging technology really solely about scale and efficiency. But firms are more and more asking themselves, how can I use technology to deepen my relationships with my clients, make myself more available, provide the information they want? And firms that are asking themselves, how can we leverage technology to grow our business, whether that's moving on, like Gina was talking about, to the next generation, or perhaps, you know, acquiring another firm who sees technology as an important strategy for their future growth. So it's a really exciting time now for technology and for DQ.
Yeah, Trish, I think that's really, really well said. Gina, before I get to my next question, I'm wondering if I could throw a bonus question in here. So we think of more is better, easier is better, basic at best. Do those have any implication to the age of clients? Does it matter if you're a millennial or you're maybe a baby boomer as you cross those categorizations?
It does. I think it's relevant. It's certainly not determinative, but we see more of a millennial generation fitting into that more is better category, and perhaps more of the baby boomers at the basic at best, and then those of us in between, easier is better. I will admit, I'm a bit of an easier is better persona myself. I have 3 kids with lots of logins, and I fully believe in the power of technology, but I don't want the technology for the technology's sake. Again, I want it to make my life easier so that it's helping me with the juggling act. Give me technology that's going to be the third arm so that I can add my 2 and we can juggle better together.
So let's continue on. So what made your digital experience even more important during the COVID crisis? And did you make any adjustments to actually meet that challenge or a series of challenges perhaps?
We did. Like everyone, we felt a bit disconnected when we first had to move to a remote work environment. Even though we had remote work tools in place, we had to work to get both advisors and clients comfortable. It's like what Trish was saying. We had to say both to our team members and to our clients, you're going to be okay. And we had to be the bedrock for people with that message. The situation swiftly reinforced our belief that the office is not the epicenter of the client relationship. The advisor is. So getting our advisors comfortable was a necessary component of getting our clients comfortable. And in the end, in fact, we've actually used the technology and the environment to deepen some of the client relationships during this time by, for example, extending the virtual meeting invitations to other members of the family. It seems like a simple thing, but we realize in hindsight that before the COVID crisis, we had a lot of client relationships where the primary touch point was an in-person meeting with often one spouse at their office during the workday. that spouse ended up being the driver of the whole client experience because it was defined by that in-person meeting. Now, however, we are seeing lots of examples across our firm of greater participation by other members of the family, another spouse, children, even parents, multi-generational meetings where formerly those people were not present at those meetings. So the ease now of clicking into a meeting has removed what actually was a barrier to connection, and we've deepened the whole relationship. Every client is going to have unique needs and how they want to interact. Those needs may have shifted during the crisis, maybe they haven't, but we have to meet those clients where they are, virtually or physically, when we return, whether it's in homes, outside, on a video conference call. So technology is enabling us to make sure we still can nail that experience. And so an advisor feels really confident to deliver it no matter where they are, whether sitting at home or in an office. And that confidence is translating to that peace of mind message that we want to keep conveying to our clients no matter where we are. Now, at the firm level, we're actually asking that ourselves now in a more intentional way. What does a Colony Group digital meeting look like? We've spent over 30 years refining the Colony Group experience and brand, and it has always assumed an in-person meeting. How does that translate to digital and evolve with technology? It shouldn't be accidental or haphazard. So that's the DQ aspect.
I'm just curious, you know, you talked about the game changer with meetings during the COVID crisis. Who attended? Who joined? You know, I think about my own experience in the last 3 or 4 months doing a virtual doctor's appointment and how that was almost unheard of before this. And I wonder if some of those practices that you described will be around long after, you know, this time period passes. What do you think?
I absolutely think that they are here to stay. I don't think they will ever be a substitute for an in-person meeting. We all crave seeing people face-to-face, but we have clients that have surprised us by saying that they really like the virtual meeting. I think some of it is the ability to have more people involved. Other clients, it's just the ease of avoiding a commute in a congested city area. So yes, I think the digital, the virtual meeting is here to stay.
Trish, let me bring you in here and get some thoughts.
Yeah, you know, Gina, you mentioned using technology to create peace of mind, and I think this is so tremendously important. When we think about that, the advisor value stack and that third level being peace of mind. So, and DQ can help drive that, right? In ways that you just talked about. So how can I use tech not to replace the relationship, but to really deepen and enhance the relationship? You're meeting the clients where they're at. You know, largely today, as you mentioned, it's in the pandemic environment, they're largely at home, but you're also delivering the information that they need specific to them when they want it, you know, where they want it. And I think this is really in part, but a huge part of delivering peace of mind, helping people feel like they're going to be okay and having that information delivered to them where they're at. So it's really important.
And of course, you know, Trish, maybe a shameless plug here, but, you know, achieving life's goals takes us where we want to be, exactly to the top of the value stack.
Yeah, I think so many things that Gina, that you just said are spot on. And I love the way you articulated the office isn't the epicenter, the relationship, the advisor and the advisor team is. As I think about the things that you've said and how can you meet the needs of that client? We knew that client expectations were changing. We knew that they wanted a more tailored experience. And one of the challenges today that we've been seeing in the past few years is how do you do that customization in a way that you can also scale? And I think there's a tremendous opportunity there that to whatever extent that firms can leverage technology to lay a great foundation, to automate, to gather data, to make sense of data, to better understand your clients, that's going to allow the advisors, the associates, and everybody involved in the relationship to be spending their time doing what they do best, and that is providing them peace of mind and planning and investment management, helping them achieve their life goals. So, you know, I really think things that you're doing at Colony Group and things firms are doing broadly to help automate and create a great technology foundation so that the folks in the office can spend time either physically or virtually doing the things that they do best to deepen the relationship, I think is tremendous. So thank you for sharing that. It's really well said.
Yeah, it sure is. Well said. All right, Gina. So what does the future hold at Colony Group in terms of thinking about that digital experience?
The Colony Group is always thinking about how to harness the technology in a way that offers more flexibility, more customization to meet the different client needs. We also are thinking about how it plays into the daily lives of our teams, our advisors. As Trish was saying, how do we scale it so that advisors can do what they do best, but they also are involved in the deployment of the technology? So one of the things that we're continuing to hone is governance, because technology governance will absolutely have an impact on how it's experienced by the team and therefore ultimately our clients. I think of technology as a single thread that goes through all of our teams. And our accelerated growth and the mergers have forced us to look closer at this thread, where it goes and how it connects us all. The goal is really to get to the point where we have firm-wide responsibility. I don't want to scare my colleagues who may have listened to this, because we will always have people with titles and job descriptions that specify that they are accountable for technology. But at the same time, we have to get to the place where everyone at the firm feels responsible for its success and the use of that technology. It does not just sit at the feet of the tech person or the ops team to optimize technology. Everyone has to climb that mountain together. And that means carving out the right amount of time to make sure that everyone can do that and equipping them with really the correct tools. Identification of tools is another reason why technology governance is so important to us, because with the wrong tools, you deliver the wrong results. So you think about it like this. A chef may bring her own knives to a job because she feels most comfortable with those tools. The knife becomes an extension of her, and it enables her to deliver on her craft. For advisors, it's a bit of the same thing. We uncover emotions, we deliver data, and hopefully we ultimately work together to deliver peace of mind. But the technology we use helps us to augment that experience in the relationship. The technology should box them in a certain way. It should act as that tool, that knife, the extension of them to deliver on the craft.
Well, I think that actually brings us full circle by connecting digital quotient, culture, and client experience. You know, Gina, as you said, it's instrumental to put clients at the center of thinking around the digital transformation, which is vast and complex. And I love the way you dimension that. Moving from just having, you know, the cool tools type thing to creating a customized experience calls for not only goals and KPIs, but also really knowing and understanding your customers and clients and understanding how they want to interact and how they engage. Gina, great conversation. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we really appreciate you joining us on FinPoint.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure for me as well.
And Tricia, so glad you could join us too. And that's a wrap for episode 3. Thanks so much for tuning in. Still to come in this season of FinPoint, we will discuss the two remaining growth engines. In episode 4, we'll explore intelligence quotient. Then we'll move on to emotional quotient in episode 5. Following that, we'll conclude season 2 by inviting Mike Durbin back again to talk about how the growth engines all work together to focus your firm on growth. Until the next time, I'm Mark Squires. Thanks so much for listening. To replay any FinPoint episode, please visit go.fidelity.com/FinPoint or simply search for us on iTunes or Google Play.
FinPoint is a production of Fidelity Investments. Any reproduction, transcription, or rebroadcasts of this content are forbidden without explicit permission. Information provided in this program is for informational and educational purposes only. To the extent any information in this material is deemed to be a recommendation, it is not meant to be impartial investment advice or advice in a fiduciary capacity, and is not intended to be used as a primary basis for you or your client's investment decisions. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products and and or services mentioned in this material because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation, directly or indirectly, in connection with the management, distribution, and or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. Views expressed are of the date of the recording, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the speakers, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of this information. The third-party providers mentioned herein are neither affiliated with nor an agent of Fidelity, and are not authorized to make representations on behalf of Fidelity. Their input herein does not suggest a recommendation or an endorsement by Fidelity. This information was provided by third-party providers and is subject to change. The content provided and maintained by any third-party website is not owned or controlled by Fidelity. Fidelity takes no responsibility whatsoever, nor in any way endorses such content. There is no form of legal partnership, agency affiliation, or similar relationship among an investment professional, the third-party service providers, and Fidelity Investments, nor is such relationship created or implied by the information herein. Third-party trademarks and service marks are property of their respective owners. All other trademarks and service marks are property of FMR LLC or its affiliated companies. Fidelity Institutional provides investment products through Fidelity Distributors Company LLC, clearing custody or other brokerage services through National Financial Services LLC or Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC. Members NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2020 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. Reference number 10128.24.1.0.